Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Doin' It Bubba Style, the number one rated, internationally syndicated motorsports show. Brought to you by the award-winning father and son car building team and the hosts of the show, Bubba and Tom.
Well, there it is, Bub. Good morning. I love that new introduction, man. How you doing today?
Hey, man, pretty good so far. Yeah, that that introduction's actually turning out really, really well, man. That was done from Justin Webbs, and that's Instagram.com/JWebbsVoice, man. I'll tell you what, he does some crazy, crazy voiceovers.
He does,
man. A lot of, like, the Disney-related characters and things like that.
Yeah,
so a lot of really cool stuff he does, man.
Right on, Bub. Right on. Good guy, man, too. He's a real guy. We like to hang around real positive people, man, with positive influences. And he's one of those guys, man. He's just one of those guys that's a cool dude. He's laid back and not too stressed out, man. He was in the Army, as a matter of fact. He was paratrooper qualified. I think he was a full. I actually think he was a Ranger, Bub. If my history's correct, but he did a nice job for us, and we thank him for that, Bub.
Yeah, really good, man. He's that's what he does. You know, that's his passion. You know, of course, he's got all these other really more entrepreneur than anything, but. That's his passion is doing, you know, radio edits, voiceovers, commercials. You know, he's really gotten some crazy contracts this past year, and it's awesome, man, to just see people like that succeed, you know, with something that they love to do.
Right on, Bub. Good show coming your way today, man. It's going to be a lot of fun, Bub. This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Miss Outlaw Boutique, all on the web now. It is all web-based, man. The Outlaw's out in Hollywood doing some shopping for the store and everything like that, man. Good stuff going on over at Miss Outlaw, man.
Yeah.
Really good stuff, man. Hellion Turbos, Bub. Hellion Turbos, man. We're going to have them in as a guest, man. We're going to have John Urist join us today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really, really excited. He is the founder of Hellion Turbo, Bub.
Yeah.
And he's going to be on the air with us. It's going to get real technical. I'm going to do it from, I'm going to interview it from an installer and a build style, Bub. And he's going to kind of talk to us as an owner and designer side of it. So I want to catch both perspectives, man.
Yeah, you know, it was great. You know, we were actually, when we had designed and built the previous SEMA 17 Mustang for Precision Turbo.
Yep.
Of course, you know, that's one of the things we'll get into here once John gets on the line. But, you know, we were actually out there at SEMA in Las Vegas, Nevada this past year, in the Precision Turbo booth. He had actually unveiled a new twin Camaro. Turbo kit for the new Camaros, which is it's a pretty freaking hefty, tricky setup to get all that power underneath the hood of one of those cars and still keep it so that it's, you know, 50 state legal compliant. And that is one of the things that they, of course, do at Hellion as well. So we'll discuss that a little bit more once John gets on, and we're really looking forward to it.
It's going to be great. I've also asked Rich McDonald from Superformance to join us, too, because, as we know, the Shelby Cobras are alive because of him and his father and what happened with his father. We had him on last week, man.
Yeah, man, we had him on last week. That was a great conversation we had with him, and, you know, almost the same thing, too, which is it's cool because we'll be able to tie it all together, you know, with the guys over at Hellion as well, because it's one of those things where we were discussing with, you know, everyone over at Superformance, the way that today's motors and designs are going. A lot of these cars, of course, Superformance being the Ford-based platforms, whether it's, you know, the Daytonas, whether it's the Shelbys, you know, whether it's the GT-style cars, the GT40-style cars, all of those are still Ford-based platforms. So they are running that Ford drivetrain, and we were talking with them about how it just gets so incredible when you start dropping in these newer Coyote motors, the new 5.0s, you start supercharging them, you start boosting them, turbocharging them, and you put all that kind of power into a car that has zero traction control systems, and you can really have a rocket on your hands.
And Bub, we want to get into the carbon how-tos, carbon fiber how-tos. You do a lot with it. I hope we're going to be able to squeeze out of that in if we get some of this exciting stuff.
Yeah, man, we got a lot of good stuff to discuss and a lot of great things to go over.
Really do. Good morning to also not only over there at Hellion, but Superformance and those guys over there, Monster Energy, man. Those are great guys over there, Bub. They do a lot of great stuff with BEM as well, man.
That's right.
Super, super stuff. Good morning to Michael Wasco out there. He is Mr. Mustang of the Jupiter, Florida area. Mike's a big fan of ours, big supporter, Bub, and a really good dude, man.
Yeah, really good dude.
Really good guy. Posts, if you want to see how positive Mike is, go out and look at the posts that he puts, the comments that he puts on our show, man.
Yeah.
Super, super good guy, man. He thinks very highly of us. We think very highly of him. Just a good guy, man.
Yep.
Really, really, really good guy. But we're going to talk a little bit today about the Hellion Twin Turbo systems. And it's not just Twin Turbo. You do a lot of boosted applications.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that you go into and one of the things you talk about, and good morning to everybody around the world. Welcome to the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast. We are heard through the PC One platform and Blog Talk Radio platform, as well as live streamed in 4K to you. We are the only motorsports show that does that. Bub, you're a big boosted application fan. You just had the 800 horsepower C7 Corvette in here yesterday that you built. That thing's pretty amazing. Shared that with Paul Sr., man, yesterday from Orange County Choppers. And you're big on the twin turbo and the single turbo applications as well. And one of the things that has to happen for you is those vehicles have to run right. It's 100%. When you do the job, it has to be done right. Let's talk about why you like doing these modifications. You did build the BEM SEMA car you partnered up with Turbonetics. Reggie Wynn called you and asked you to do it. It is the world's only 603 horsepower stock block EcoBoost ever built, Bob.
Yeah.
Crazy car, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. It's, you know, anytime you start working with, today's vehicles, the modern performance, everything, honestly, now everything from base model all the way up until, your highest end stuff. I mean, you look at things like the Dodge Demons that are coming out now that are just, incredible. I mean, those cars laying down over 850 horse on a mass production ride, 0 to 60 in, just flat 2.5 seconds, which is absolutely insane, man. You start talking about today's modern performance, today's quality of components, what you're working with as, there's just a starting point, but also your end result, man. You're getting something that you can build a ton of power out of, but also have something totally reliable and fully functional. And that's what you're getting in today's world. And when you start adding things like, whether it's just basic bolt-ons, intake, exhaust, basic tuning, stage one, stage two packages, kind of go-tos for, entry-level guys that are looking to really open those cars up and have some fun with them. You can really move that bar up to, a totally different level when you start looking at forced inductions, whether it's single turbo, twin turbo, supercharged applications. Anytime you start doing that kind of stuff, you're literally looking at, average minimum gains of about 35 to 40% of what you're already running from a base model. So cars that are, and these are just easy numbers to, throw in your head, but cars that are coming right out of the gate, the new Dodge Challengers, base model Challengers, if you're getting something with a scat pack in it, with the factory 392.
When you say scat pack, what do you mean by that, Bub?
Just the option of the car. So it's, instead of it coming with the 5.7, going to come with a 6.4, you're looking at something like that, the 392s. That's going to be a car that's going to come out of the gate with 485 horse stock. You can throw, any sort of supercharger or turbo system on it and look for about 650 out of that car, and it's a fairly easy number to achieve. Just throwing it on, just basic bolt-ons, not doing anything crazy, not going inside the motor, not going deep in it, just another bolt-on out of the box, and 650, that 700 horse range, that is more than enough on today's street cars.
And Bub, one of the things that you're a big fan of not doing is going out and running these cars hard on the street. You don't like that. You're not a big competitive street racer. You're always of the opinion that if you want to do that, you get it out on the track in a safe environment and a limited area where people are not subject to being hurt to stupid behavior.
Well, especially now more so than ever, because the cars are, like I just mentioned, the cars are getting so violently powerful that, you can run out of room real fast in these things. You approach speeds of 0 to 100 pretty freaking quick.
Yeah, you do.
Where cars 15 years ago, a number that was strong was 400 horsepower, and that was like these guys that had these, 2000s Mustang GTs or Mustang Cobras, to achieve that 350, 400 horsepower mark was like astronomical, dude. Like people loved it. It was insane. But it was also something where you could run that car wide open throttle almost in traffic and not really have to worry. But now you're looking at cars that are approaching that 700, 800 plus mark, and it's you're double the power of what it was, 10 years ago, and that's just basic bolt-ons and custom tuning, and it could get a lot of people hurt really fast. So you have to know when to play and how to do it.
You just had arrived, Bub, and that's why the timeliness of having John Uris from Hellion Turbo join us today. He is a good friend of ours, like you said. We were in the booth at SEMA with him.
Mm-hmm.
Just a cool cat, man.
Yeah.
People don't understand just what a cool guy he is, man.
Yeah.
He's laid back. He's all positive vibes. He's about good things for people.
Mm-hmm.
This car is the first Hellion twin turbo car to arrive in South Florida. It showed up yesterday straight from, I believe, Lebanon Ford up in New Jersey, wasn't it, Bob?
Yeah, that's right. That's actually what's sitting on the corner of the table here is the cert from Lebanon Ford. That's actually showing that it is the twin turbo Mustang custom built between Lebanon Ford and Hellion Power Systems.
This does belong to one of our A-list clients here.
Yeah.
Really good dude, by the way. He's another guy who self-made millionaire, worked very, 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 very hard. He was very entrepreneurial in the automotive area, wheels, tires, things like that. Also worked as a prison guard and found himself getting in more trouble in the prison than the prisoners getting in trouble.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all, man. That's the right area to get in trouble. Just a good guy, very laid back guy. Did it all, made tons and tons and tons of money, lives very well here in South Florida in a very exclusive neighborhood right by Donald Trump's golf resort, and just a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a car guy.
Yeah.
He loves his cars, and he loves his performance. You've even been through the car. There's a couple things you're going to change on it that from a performance perspective, and we'll talk about that. Not a bad thing. It just needs to be tightened up a little bit because you like things correct about it.
Yeah.
And the question that I want to get into before John calls us from Hellion is, but what about the suspension on that car?
Yeah, you know, so, you know, right now, of course, you know, we'll get into it a little bit deeper here in a few minutes, but these kits that are available from Hellion for the 18 plus model line of the Mustangs, the S550 body, those things are actually not anymore. The, you know, those kits are capable of, you know, just pushing over 1200 horse. That's what the twin turbo setup is capable of. Of course, that's going to require a lot of extra work. That's not just going to be out of the box and bolted on. All going to depend on your boost pressures, you know, what you start at. Do you start at 5 pounds, 7.5 pounds, 12? You can go all the way up to 25, 30 if you wanted to on the turbos that are on there. You know, so your options are endless. It's as far as you want to go with it. But once you start achieving those really high horsepower numbers, you know, 600, 650, that's okay on fairly basic suspension packages today. They will handle it and harness it pretty well. But anything above that, you have to start looking at leaning towards an aftermarket company, something that's beefier, that's stronger, that plants better, it tracks straighter, you know, and really lay it down. And, of course, you know our go-to for the Mustangs is going to be Steeda all the way.
Oh, absolutely. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Bubba and Tom, the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast. Caller, can you hear us?
We got nothing.
No, huh? No. What we will do, though, however, is I will return that call. I will call that number right back. Caller, can you hear us there? Okay, Bub, we'll jump right back on that. You know what? That might have actually been John trying to call in, Bub. Let me see if I can run, if I can catch up with him real quick here. While you're talking about, Bub, harnessing power, when you say that, Bub, there's so much that has to be done to harness power, okay?
Yeah.
And I'd like to know a little bit more about what are the things you consider when you're looking at a performance-related suspension?
You know, it's when you start looking at that kind of stuff, you're looking at, you know, of course, number one thing is probably going to be if people are changing suspension, they're probably going to look at doing the stance a little bit.
You think?
A lot of cars factory come with some pretty good clearance on them between the tire and the fender wheel.
Yeah.
So I think a lot's going to be looked at there. You're not only looking for an increase in your handling and your traction controls, but also an increase in your overall visual effect,
stance, absolutely.
The height of the car. So you want to look for something that's going to do both. And, you know, some companies out there have you know, a setup for one direction or another. Some companies also have a setup for a little bit of everything, something that gives you an all around where it's going to be your stance, drop that car about an inch or so. That's typically all you need on most of today's cars, unless you're trying to go tuck crazy. But about an inch is all you really need in most cars in today's world of drops, 3/4 of an inch, an inch. And that sets them really, really nice, super, super tight, full clearance, no rubbing, no scrubbing. But also gives you something that's going to be stronger in the spring rate.
Sure.
It's going to handle much better. It's going to plant that power a lot better. The lower you get that car, the lower the center of gravity it's going to be. So it's going to perform exactly how you want it to.
Right on. Bub, John, can you hear us there? Can you hear us, John, right now? Caller, can you hear us? I can hear him on his end.
Yeah.
Right?
I got nothing.
You know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to call. I'll call John. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Let me get John for us.
Stand by 1 second, please.
I felt like there was trouble coming out of the New York studio, so we'll just jump. John, good morning. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, ladies. Bub, do you hear John nice and clear there?
Yo, what's up, John?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen around the world, I introduce to you John Uris from Hellion, Bub. Hellion Turbo, man. And, you know, John, I cannot welcome you enough to the show, John. Doing it Bubba Style. This is a number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports podcast. You're number one in the turbo business. I just can't thank you enough for joining us today, man.
We like making cars fast, and you guys like making them look good and go fast, so it works out
real
well.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the iconic John Uris from Hellion Turbo. I cannot believe that we've got him on the phone. We actually met John this year. I've told everybody over the past few months as we've talked about the Hellion Turbo applications about what a great guy John is and what a positive vibe kind of dude he is. We spent time with him at SEMA, the BEM SEMA Mustang and the Hellion SEMA Corvette or Camaro. We're sitting right next to each other in the Turbonetics booth. It was an amazing time. And Bub, just I mean, John's just a really, really good dude.
Yeah, you know, it's a solid guy just in the industry, bringing out a solid quality product and, you know, moving the entire automotive bar forward. And that's, I think that's what's best, you know, is giving somebody or, you know, an industry really in a whole just something fun that makes the industry stay alive. And that's what people want. They want to go out. They want to buy high performance cars. They want to buy insane, incredible power adders, and that's exactly what you do. You go to, you turn to John and all of the guys over at Hellion, and you get exactly what you ask for.
And John, tell us a little bit about now, what is the history of Hellion? Why? Why'd you do this, man? How'd you go from nothing to being number one, man?
Well, basically, I got involved in motorsports and drag racing, first. And we, you know, took the, you know, the old Fox body Mustangs, the 87 through 93 style. And we would go to the track and do the modifications and basically got hooked. And so I started traveling the country, running the NMRA, the National Mustang Racers Association series. And we raced the Street Outlaw class. And I started that back in 2000. The Street Outlaw class is the, you know, the original Street Outlaw, you know, as far as heads up drag racing. You know, there's a lot of stuff, TV stuff now, which is great for the sport that's going on, but we kind of started a lot of that stuff.
Of course.
And the desire to go faster led us into, you know, building these kits for the race cars. And then I was approached, and my business partner, Dwayne James, we were approached by so many people saying, hey, listen, can you bring this to the to street cars and to the masses, all this, you know, the technology and everything we had developed. So, 2004, we started Hellion Turbo, and we've been building bolt-on turbo kits that you can put on in your garage ever since.
Now, Bub, there's a lot of, as you know, Bub, from a design and fabrication and build standpoint, you recognize as in the top three of the industry today, okay? So when you have John's product in your hand, okay, and there's a reason you use his products, okay?
Yeah.
You just received South Florida's first Hellion Twin Turbo Mustang to arrive. It came straight from New Jersey to here. I immediately called John. John said, I know the car. I know exactly what's going on with that car. As he does with every one of his clients, as he does with every one of his products. He's like you. He touches it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Why is it you like the Hellion kit? What is it about that kit that you, that catches your eye from an installer standpoint, from a design standpoint? Why?
You know, I think that's a good question. You know, we have a lot of Mustang listeners out there and a huge Mustang club that follows us as well. And I think you know, number one, most importantly, it's pure quality. You know, the kit that's designed and produced is something that's, you know, what a lot of guys at the end of the day want, whether it is a do-it-yourselfer that's at home, like John mentioned, in your garage on the weekends, or big builders all across the world out there in the industry that just want to, you know, sell to their clients. It's a kit that you can literally go, you do the research on it, you understand what it is you're looking at, if it fits exactly what you're looking for. You place that order, and once you get it, it's literally out of the box and step-by-step installed to the finish line. And that is what people want at the end of the day, is something proven, something that works, and something that is start to finish with no flaws.
And John, on the reverse side of that question, how is it you're able to, for example, you know Bub personally from a technical standpoint. You guys can talk AFRs and this and that all day long. But how do you drill it down to a layman's level so that these guys can build these things in their garage, man?
Well, basically, the cars have come so far. I mean, we are in the best time for automotive aftermarket ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, the late model Mustang. Well, you know, in all Tony cars, I mean, just every vehicle in general. But you know, like let's use the Mustang for this example. I mean, you have a car, independent rear suspension. I mean, the computer and the technology, the engine, the strength of the engine, you know, all of these things have made it so easy for us to make a higher power number. So you guys want to come in and do all of these things and bolt it on, and the car has made it easy for us as well. It's a really good donor to build it. So, you know, like Bob and I can build custom systems for one-off, and then, you know, that and that's a one-time deal. To have something repeatable, no cutting on the body, no modification of anything that can't be taken off. Like let's say, you know, you want to get a new style and take the system and transfer it, you can do that.
Yeah.
So we go in and make everything, you know, step-by-step instructions, and it's, really, really try to make it as simple as possible to, make this amazing power that we're getting at the tires with these things.
Bub, one of the things you have, and you hear the horror stories all the time, whether it's a vehicle that's been at another facility and come to you because the motor's been blown apart because somebody tried to install a power adder to it, or you've seen people try to install power adders that blow them up. You're very, very cautious. You're a conservative builder. Everything has to be indexed the same way. Everything has to be torqued exactly to, if you've read a pair of instructions, you've read it 1,000 times, and you'll read it another 1,000 times when you do the job the next time.
Yeah.
Right? And you're looking for changes in the manufacturer's instructions to see if anything has changed, right? What is it about people who try to add these power adders without performance houses like Hellion to get them where they need to be, and why are they blowing these motors apart?
You know, I think that's a really good question. I think anytime that you start working with, you start working with any sort of power adder, whether it's supercharger, whether it is turbochargers, singles or dual twins, a lot of people get greedy with power, man. And
get greedy. You've used that term a lot.
Yeah, it's, you know, it happens a lot. People put these things on the dynos. They don't respect what the industry, designers and companies out there have done in terms of their R&D. Typically, guys, like, for example, whether it be Turbonetics, whether it be Precision, all the turbochargers used by Hellion as well. But also, you know, you start going out there and you've got guys that have proven these things. The guys at Hellion, they've tested them, they've fitted them, they've put them on, they've pushed them to the limit. So they know what that limit is. When they send you something out of the box, don't get greedy with it and take more. Take exactly what it is unless your platform can handle that next level.
Now, John, over to you. Here you're building these out-of-the-box kits, man, that are designed in many ways, much like Bub sells the SEMA kits online that he's put together. They're step-by-step and bolt-on. But how do you develop this in a way that you bring it to a level that people don't get greedy with the power, that people don't get mesmerized by trying to get more and more and more out of the system? Let's talk about that.
Sure. Well, the industry standard for years has been like a bolt-on supercharger. So you have a belt and two pulleys.
Mm-hmm.
And so the supercharger manufacturer sends out two pulleys at, let's say, 7 pounds of boost. It makes 7 pounds of boost, and it's done. With a turbocharger, it's much more adjustable. Mm-hmm. So we can go from anywhere from 3 pounds to 20 plus pounds.
Right.
So as you said, how do we keep it low? We send the system, so like a base kit, all of our testing on, let's say, a 2018 Mustang, we send it with a 7.5 pound spring in the wastegate, which is a really safe, conservative boost level, which will make 650, 700 horse at the tires on only 7.5 pounds. And that is really the limitation of the fuel system where we like to see it.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to build the engine, put a fuel system, take it to a dyno, custom tune it, then they can install a boost controller and start tweaking it and bringing that boost up. So the wastegate spring setting that we send is set where we have found the best results, the most bang for your buck. And then past that is when the modification process starts. And that's where you can get with your installer and dyno shop and start going down that road. And that's one thing that we've done is we've done it for so many years, and we try to test all those limits before everybody else so that we can be a resource with a recommendation and make sure everybody goes down the path they want and you know, gets the final power number that they're looking for.
I think, Bub, that now everybody around the world is starting to hear and will hear that catches the show later why you are so parallel with John and Hellion, okay?
Yeah.
The conservativeness is there and the quality is there. Now, Bub, one of the things that John just mentioned, I need you to explain to the audience, he's talking about wastegate springs. What is a wastegate and what are the springs?
You know, so in turbo systems, you have there's a lot of safety features to it. There's of course, the turbochargers will do what they're supposed to do. They will build boost, and they will do it until you stop them. And that's where a lot of people get greedy because they don't understand that. The turbo is capable of much more than what your motor can handle. Yeah, you can buy a turbo that's good for 50 pounds of boost, but you can only run 7. So it's, you know, that you could very quickly on the wrong setup blow something apart real fast, and that happens all the time, trust me. You know, you have wastegates, for example, you have blow-off valves or bypass valves, and everybody calls them something different. You know, you have all these different, you know, valves and controls that all change and do something that make the system efficient and do exactly what it should do. But essentially what the wastegate does is if the turbo is producing boost, the wastegate will limit that amount of boost by allowing it to dump either, you know, atmospheric, whether it's just going to go wide open, or recirculate it out through the exhaust, which is the way most bolt-on style systems are, so in terms of emitting emissions and making sure it's quiet how it should be.
So the spring literally controls how much pressure is there?
Right, yeah. So you can, you know, just like John was saying, you can literally take these kits and you can pre-tune them for a specific rating for a specific application. In this case, for these newer Mustangs, you run them between that 5 to 7.5 pound range, and that's going to be pretty safe and give you a lot of power, great increase, typically about that 40% increase mark, and it's going to be something that's reliable where you can go and run it over and over and over and over again, and it's not going to blow the motor apart.
Okay, so now I have a question for both of you from design and implementation standpoints, okay? And both of the, and this applies to both of you. John, we'll start with you. Single versus twin turbos. What are the differences? Is one better than the other?
Great question. So when we evaluate a vehicle, so we take the how much power we think that the engine can handle if it's a new engine, and we also look at space constraints, because part of being able to put these on is the minimal amount of work. So sometimes a larger single turbo will fit easier, like on our C7 Corvette kits. The single turbo fits much nicer than trying to fit two, just because of the engine bay. In the Mustang, for example, there's more room and we can go twin. We typically lean towards twins if we can, because of the lower weight of the turbo compressor wheels and the faster spooling.
Mm-hmm.
They respond a little bit quicker.
Mm-hmm.
A properly sized single can do the same thing, but the twins offer you a little bit more range,
right?
From low boost all the way up. So they both can work, like our Street Outlaw race car, the 2015 that I drag race, and it makes 2,000 horsepower, and it's got a single precision 98 millimeter turbo. And the reason we run a single is the rule to dictate a single, because it's easy to police. In street applications where there's no constraints, we like to go twin, and we size them perfectly for the engine, so they're peak efficiency, and we'll deliver the power. But they both have their perks. And we make each system, we take both in consideration, and then we use the best one for that particular application.
Okay, Bub, the same question applies to you. From an installer's perspective, a tuner's perspective,
mm-hmm.
and certainly from a design and development perspective, what works for you? Does one work over the other, or what are your thoughts?
You know, I agree 100% with John. It's, really you have something that's of course, if you're running a V-style motor, and what I mean by that is, whether it's a V6 application, a V8, V10, V12, anytime you can run it symmetrical and run a single turbo on either bank, that's typically how I would design and build, especially doing like a one-off kit. But again, when you get down to clearances, that's a totally different ballgame, and sometimes you do have to just run a single turbo application. You look at the Turbonetics style, 76 mil kits that are direct fit, stage one and stage two. Those kits have to run a single turbo setup in order for, to keep it all under the hood and 50 state legal.
You actually designed that setup for the fifth gen Camaro.
Yeah, that was back in like 10 with them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Man.
He and said, John, since then, you guys, I know at SEMA, you know, when we were out there, you brought the sixth gen Camaro with the twin turbo application. Is that something that's going into full mass production now?
It is. That kit is in full production. It's available. And we use the same turbos on the Camaro that we use on the Mustang. And so the power curves and our experience with everything really, really works out well. And that thing is just a monster.
And John, what size turbos, or Bub, whichever, what size turbos are you using on these twin turbo kits for the new Camaros, for this brand new Mustang?
For the Camaro, we typically go with a twin 62-millimeter precision turbos. The Mustang, the standard turbo is a 55-millimeter with the option of a 62 or 64. And again, that gets into future goals with the car. So we have options. If more power is desired later, we can option a larger turbo initially and then use that capability.
And so, Bub, one of the things that you have been, you're a very, very, and this is a great way. I know I've got to respect John's time here, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of questions on the board right now for him, but John has some family responsibilities. He's pre-qualified too. This was an 11th hour thing to get him to get in here. Yep. He rearranged his schedule to join us a few minutes this morning. So we will have John back on very soon. I need to respect his family time today. But one of the things I want to ask real quick is, Bub, the unity and the harmony all the way across the board, the synchronicity, if you will, is precision turbo.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. It's, it's, of course, as everybody knows, or maybe not knows, but Turbonetics, which is a Wabtec company, is now really garnering up a lot in terms of the turbocharger, the boosted world. In the fact that they've got, of course, all under one umbrella, Turbonetics, there's Napier, there's Precision. All quality products, man, all in-house, all American made. And it's just, you're getting a quality piece that does exactly what you want it to do for a great price. And it's, how can you beat it?
So why would then, John, why would you find Precision, the Turbonetic, or the turbo to go with as well?
They've been so progressive with design and pushing the envelope as we have. Basically, yep. they're the same company building a different product with mm-hmm. forward vision, excitement for the aftermarket, and there's always something new coming. Everybody likes development and going faster and making more power, being more efficient, and that's what they've done. And be it if that's a compressor wheel, turbine housing, compressor housing, more options. In this day and age with so many options that we have, being able to pick and choose and order exactly what you want is really the way to go these days, and they've just done a great job of doing it. And, in the end, you got a product that looks great and it performs the same way.
And again, Bub, to John's point, there's a million places you could go. Borg Warner for turbos. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a million places that you mm-hmm. could go. But you and John, the best in the business, hang right there with Precision, man.
Yeah, it's, you're getting a product that does exactly what it should do. And you, almost like John just mentioned, its product line is endless. You can literally have one turbo of a certain size, 52, 55, 60, whatever it is, the turbo size you need, and still have 10 different options around that. What kind of wheels you want, what the setup is going to be, internal, external style wastegates. I mean, you can have ball bearing systems. There are so many different options. You can literally get everything you want down to the T for your application.
Crazy. John, I know you squeezed us in here today, and I cannot thank you enough. You're the best of the best out there. I need to get you off the line because you do have some family commitments you need to attend to this morning. I would like to please ask you to come join us again very soon in the next couple of weeks. Let's finish this conversation because we have a lot more to do.
Definitely. Thank you guys for having me on. No, there's so many exciting things happening in this industry right now, and so many exciting products. I mean, if you're an enthusiast, then this is what you're looking to do. The sky's the limit, and we're constantly and feverishly working on new products and different vehicle applications that everybody can check out at our website, hellionturbo.com, and
yep.
you will see all of the cool things, and working with the turbo manufacturers and just delivering the greatest thing. But I really appreciate you guys having me on, and we'll definitely continue this conversation.
Yes. I hope so. We need to finish this. There's a lot that we didn't get to technically. The boards are lit up to talk to you and Bub, but we have a commitment with you, and I'm going to honor that. John, thank you very much. HellionTurbo.com. There is John Uris from Hellion. Great guy. Gives me chills. John, thank you so much, man. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, my friend.
Thank you guys, too. Talk to you soon.
See you, John.
There he goes, man. Great dude, guys. Bub. Bye-bye. Super, super good dude, man. Super good dude. So, Bub, there he is, John Urist from Hellion Turbo. Bub, one of the things you were just talking about, one of the things,
what do you got here?
One of the things you just were talking about was 52 millimeter, 55 millimeter, 60 millimeter. What is that? What does that mean?
So those are all the size of the actual compressor wheels on your boosted application. So it's you can again vary that thing from the smallest size you could possibly imagine to the largest that you can't even pick up with your hands. So it's all about building that application, knowing exactly what's going to work. All of them are going to be different for each motor. So you want to make sure that you know how much flow you need for your motor, for your application, what kind of target horsepower you're looking for. Every one of those is going to be a key factor in selecting that right turbocharger size, your oil system, water fed or water cooled, oil fed. You know, you want to make sure that you have all of it, a full understanding for that stuff. So it's dead on something that fits your project, but also gives you that performance and reliability that's long lasting.
So, Bub, could I just order a 75 millimeter turbo for my Porsche?
You could if you wanted to. I don't think I would suggest it.
But why?
Yeah, I don't even think Bizimoto runs 75s on his. And he does some pretty nasty Porsches, twin turbos, yeah.
So in other words, you can't just buy something that says it's the biggest and bolt it on and expect not to blow you apart.
No, especially with boosted application, man. Bigger's not always better. You know, we talk to Reggie Wynn over at Turbonetics about that all the time, and it's that's a common question that's asked a lot is, you know, I think I can get a 90 millimeter turbo in there. Well, you might be buying a pretty large turbo, but it's not really the best for your application. You know, typically smaller turbos are going to, you know, operate in a nice streetcar range. You can take, for example, this Hellion twin turbo setup for the Mustangs, capable of 1,200 horsepower. They're fairly decent size, but not overly large, massive turbos. 62 mil turbos are a perfect size that give you more than enough horsepower. 1,200 horse on the street, guys, is a lot.
So, Bub, one of the things I see, we've got somebody walking around in the lobby out there. Who's out there?
We have a friend out there.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Mark Brown, would it?
It might possibly be.
Marcus, would you please join us live in the studio?
No chance.
No chance, Woody. Love him. I'd love, as much as we talk about him and as wonderful a guy as he is, I'd really like everybody to see him one time. Just, Biz Markie, poke your head inside the studio.
There's no way he'll do it.
Yeah?
No.
Because I see you guys shooting each other birds back and forth.
It's happening.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Hey, Bub, one of the things, you did do a quality control drive on the Mustang yesterday. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what you experienced there.
Yeah, you know, it gives you what you want in terms of the application. So, right, it's a 2018 Mustang. It's a Mustang GT. It factory was, you know, that just over 450 horse mark.
Is that what it was?
You know, so it was a great setup. And, you know, you bolt this twin turbo kit on there, like John was mentioning, typically in, like, the safe range, 7.5 pounds of boost. On the wastegates, you can run those cars in, like, the 650, maybe 700 horse at the tire. To be reliable and to be safe and not blow your motor apart. Of course, granted, capable of much, much more by the turbos that are there, but you need to go deep in that motor in order to make that happen, to hit that 1,200 mark. But
so you do have to get into the motor to make that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you see turbo systems, and that's a big, you know, misconception of people in the industry, when it says it's 1,200 horsepower capable, that means that's what it's capable of doing. That doesn't mean take it out of the box and you got 1,200 horse right
away.
Push
the boost right up there.
Don't do it. You'll push the heads right off of there.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things where you out of the box, you're going to be in that 650, 700 at the tire. And trust me, that is a lot at the tire. That is more than enough to get that car sideways and pretty much first through fourth gear, and pretty scary when it happens. Because just the power, the torque is just so violent when it comes on when you're working with boosted applications.
And to that point, Bub, there was a video. I don't know if you saw it the other day, but there was a video that was going on, and they were doing a dyno test, and the caption was pretty much, when you know you've added too much boost, and you see this thing spooling up, and this giant turbo right there, and that motor just shredded itself to the point where you could see the piston still spinning on the connecting rod, or on the crankshaft down below. It blew the block to pieces.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that'll push really, really hard boost. Some motors can handle it, and when they're built right, you can push that 30, 40, 50 pounds of boost. And it's, you know, it's something to definitely, man, if you haven't ridden in a setup with that much boost, it's the G's that you feel from it are just incredible.
Oh, wow. Bub's, Lou and Hayden saying can't say hello because the shop page didn't go live, Bub. It's on his personal page.
It should be on there now.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Lou, yeah. And you should be out there, man. No problems. Sometimes you get those technical difficulties that run back and forth sometimes. Sorry about that, Lou. And you know what it is mostly? It's the camera operating platforms that cause those problems.
Yeah, always, man. Yeah, always, yeah.
And no matter how much you try to prepare technically, something always comes up.
Yep.
But Robin was saying, too, she couldn't see it as well, Bub.
That's because it wasn't up originally. It is now.
It is.
So, you know, I'll tell you what, man, when you start looking at, you know, these modern performance rides, you know, one of the questions that we get all the time is, you know, how easy is that install? Right. So is the install easy? No. Is the install difficult? No, it's kind of right there in the middle, but it also takes you have to move very slow. And you can't rush it just to feel that boost at the end. You know, you're working with, you know, oiling systems, you're working with cooling systems, all vital components to making your system last. And anytime you start working with that stuff, plus you're adding all that boost pressure, anytime you start working with those things, they are all key factors to overheating or blowing your motor
apart.
How
about that? Yeah.
So you want to take the time and you want to do the install properly. You can buy complete kits from Hellion themselves directly.
Yep.
You can literally get these kits as either tuner packages or complete kits. Now, the tuner package, a lot of people ask, well, does that mean that I just do, you know, it comes with a tuner and that's it? No, the tuner package is typically a full bolt-on kit that gives you everything you need, minus injectors and programmers. So you could then, at that point, depending on your motor application, for example, like if it was us doing a custom motor build and you wanted to do a custom tune right out of the gate, because you're going to have maybe a high lift cam or something different, you know, a different setup going on, you would buy a tuner package, something that doesn't come complete turnkey.
Right, right.
Where you would get it, you do the install, all your hard parts are there, but then you have to do the full custom tuning as well for that application. Now, if you're doing, for example, the do-it-yourselfers out there, the guys who want to just do this kit on their back, in their driveway, in their garage, whatever the heck it is, they can do it over 2 days, over the weekend. The install bolts on direct fit. You can buy the complete kits, which allow you to get a handheld programmer, typically done through HP tuners. You can get these programmers or the engage setups, and you can literally plug in turnkey with injectors and everything, start to finish, literally get in the car when you're done, start it up, and you're ready to roll.
One of the things, Bub, that you have to contemplate or consider when you're making these builds is potentially buying them in a kit. They are in a kit for a reason, because you deal with larger fuel injectors and things like that. Why would you have to have a different size fuel injector, man?
Well, you know, that's... you know, a lot of fuel systems, like John mentioned earlier, you know, you can typically push the limit on things. And a lot of people think that a turbo is just adding a bunch of boost to it and you've got power. Well, you've got to do a bunch of other things. You've got to modify the ignition parameters. You've got to modify your fuel tables. You've got to modify everything around it, because your air is going to be so much more violent than you could ever imagine going from a naturally aspirated to a boosted forced induction setup. So you have to add all those other factors, and there are limits that you'll push where you'll run out of the stock fuel system. The fuel pump in the tank, the factory pump, will only provide so much fuel pressure before literally you start running dry. It will literally, even though it is running wide open throttle, you might be on a long run, maybe a full third gear or fourth gear pull, and you've maxed out that system, and it will literally be drawing every drop of fuel that pump can possibly supply. Some people run bigger fuel pumps, which will typically take care of it. Some people will run twin pumps. Some people will run, you know, meth injection systems. So there are all these different adders that will, again, just keep bumping that horsepower number higher and higher and higher. How much more really do you need above that 650, 700 mark on a street car?
And well, the thing is, I don't know if that's it is a good question. I think you're putting it out there for safety reasons. You'll drive a 1,000, 1,200 horsepower car all day long, Bub. And you know what's funny is you're perfectly comfortable just rolling with the flow of traffic, man.
Yeah.
That's underneath of me. It's going to be used.
Yeah, no, it's I like to play with it. I just, you know, it's just all about, you know, when and where you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're very, very, very safe about those things, Bub. Mm-hmm. I want to jump real quick, Bub, out of the power adder side, and let's talk a little bit about, well, wait a minute. I want to ask one more question. Are you going to be doing some tweaks on the new 2018 twin turbo Hellion Mustang?
Oh, for sure. That old girl, that potential it's got, come on. Yeah.
Needs a little help?
Oh, yeah.
Needs a little more dialing.
She's going to open up.
Is she?
Yeah.
Right on, Bub. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for that.
Listen, when you can go full throttle in a car that's twin turbo and that should be laying down that 650-plus mark at the tire, full throttle in first gear, come on.
And so you're a big fan.
I want to make it scary in first through third, and then maybe you'll consider going half throttle in fourth.
Oh, yeah?
That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, wow, man.
And if you get that, that's when you're like, okay, yeah, I'm good. Park this girl in the garage.
Just put it away.
That's it. I'm going to wreck this thing.
You don't drive the BEM SEMA Mustang much.
I don't, no.
I wonder why.
Because I went through a rainstorm about a month ago, and it's filthy, and I haven't had it detailed.
Yeah, but you didn't drive it much. How did you get stuck in a rainstorm? You usually don't take those cars out in the rain.
It's just this time of the year, man. Yeah. You know how it just randomly will hit you, a freaking downpour, like you can't even see 4 feet in front of you.
I hear you.
Yeah. It's just that time of the year right now. It happened to be one of the last times, so I'm going to have to go to the gym and then get it detailed.
There you go, Bob. That's right. You drop it off with Buzz, have it detailed while you're working out.
That's right.
Well, working with carbon fiber, let's talk a little bit about that on the twin turbo Mustang that just arrived straight from Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It's South Florida's first twin turbo Hellion Mustang. You immediately are doing a hood and trunk swap out.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that. You worked until about 1 o'clock the Friday morning after getting in at 5 o'clock Thursday morning, all the way through because you did a complete carbon fiber trunk and hood for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you matched portions of that hood and trunk to the same body color.
Yeah. So as the Mustang was being built up at Lebanon Ford, the client wanted to, of course, come in because he knows we've got that. We don't just build the power and close the hood and send it out. We build a full package, whether it's interior, exterior, suspension, three-piece wheels, you know, designs, one-off. It doesn't matter. If you can come up with it, it's going to happen here at BEM. So he wanted to set the looks of that car off. Of course, he's going to be running some serious power, but he didn't just want a basic stock looking Mustang with that much power, right? So you want
to
set
that's not what you're giving him.
Yeah, no chance, man. So it's, he came in, we sat down, we went over some designs. He wanted to just totally open ideas, didn't even know what he wanted. And I just steered him in the right direction. You know, guys that are putting that kind of power down to the ground. He's an older gentleman, so he's got class. He's not looking for that street rodder.
He drives
nasty,
two Mercedes S550s.
Right. So his natural and his norm is very high in luxury.
Yes.
So he's used to features in the interior, in the upholstery, that are very nice accents. Whether it's leather, whether it's carbon fiber, he's used to that very high and rich look.
Yes.
That quality, smooth gloss and shine. So what we did was we actually had Carbon Creation send us in the GT500 style hood for the 2015 on Mustangs. Beautiful looking hood, man. It just makes those cars look so nasty and mean in the front end. And they've already got a beautiful new facelift on them for the 18 year. But we did a full carbon hood and also a carbon one piece GT style concept trunk. And those two, so the trunk itself has a molded wing into it.
Yes.
Very, very tall, like a 6-inch high-rise wing in the back, and it looks incredible. But both of them, we didn't just want to take them right out of the box from California and bolt them on the car and just have carbon pieces, right? Mm-hmm. It looked like it wasn't finished. So, again, you want to build for your client's application. We designed it. We came up with a BEM two-tone mask and paint. And we did this thing in the ruby red 3 stages of factory base coat, clear coat that Ford did on
it. Stunning color, man.
Yeah, man, it's a gorgeous color. But we did a beautiful back tape on it design. So we have like the center section of the GT500 cowl where the dual hump snorkels are, and then also on the wing and the rear and the trunk, both of those are going to be a gloss exposed carbon. While the rest of the hood and the remaining of the trunk is all in the 3-stage ruby red, so it'll look like it's meant to be on that car from mass production Ford down the assembly line with all those carbon accents.
It's funny too, Bob, because one of the things we're going to be doing, we'll be featuring that car, I think, live on Monday morning's daily live stream from 11 to 11:30, right?
Yeah, we can go ahead and do that.
Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, we'll throw it on the floor and we'll show off the hood and trunk maybe.
Yeah, that'd be.
I don't know if I have the trunk ready.
Well, it doesn't matter. Maybe we can just display it and put some lights on it so that the viewing audience can
see
it.
I'll have it ready. Don't worry.
It'll look beautiful.
Yeah.
It'll look gorgeous. I know you were planning to work pretty much through today here at BEM because the beautiful Layla Von Athey is out in California doing shopping for Miss Outlaw Boutique. So you were planning to spend the day here doing a bunch of work taking care of that. In fact, you asked me to watch the dogs, and you know I'll watch Diesel and Piston all day long, man.
Yeah, of course. Terrible at feeding them, though.
Because all they do is eat with me.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
So
they both have an allergy list that's freaking 10 pages long, and you just give them anything you've got.
I'm not allergic to feeding them anything.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Oh, okay. I may just take them home with me, man, and enjoy them. I haven't spent good quality grandpa time with Piston for a long time. Diesel, I see Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yeah, I know.
How about that, man?
Yeah.
Diesel's always here. If you guys want to see him, you should come see him.
Maybe.
Meet him in person, man.
Yeah.
How about that guy that flew in from St. Louis a couple years ago, man?
What in the heck are you even talking about here? You totally shifted from the fact that we've got all that paint and body we're going on.
Who painted the picture of Diesel?
Jesus.
Pretty cool story.
All right, what else you got?
That was a good story. Yeah, what else that story hangs in my office, man.
I see it.
It's a great picture of D.
Yeah.
Never seen a picture like that before.
I have.
D. He's okay. A great dude. So, Bob, well, on Monday's show, let's share with everybody, let's share with the audience around the world, the actual trunk and hood that you've done for this car. The client was so blown away at the quality of it. He loves how you build. He could go anywhere in the world. He's got the money, but he comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to be doing additional carbon accents throughout the car. You've got to order those, or I think you already ordered those Friday.
Yeah, it's going to come together super nice, man. It's once you start putting pieces on it, you want to bring it together, and you want to bring it together very, very subtle, but very clean and very aggressive all at the same time. So, definitely going to take some work, especially with that 18 redesign on the front end, the front bumper, everything else, side skirts and rear diffuser, those are all the same. But just a little behind the scenes on what's going to happen there is, we've already done the hood and the trunk with the custom exposed two-tone carbon. That is all true fiber components. So it's going to look incredible, but we're going to theme that up with the rest of the system. We're going to do the rear diffuser, side skirts, front chin spoiler, and also the mirrors themselves. So you'll have that real subtle touch of carbon all the way around the car on that ruby red metallic, man. It's just going to be perfect color combo. It'll look very aggressive, but still very, very luxury at the same time.
It's going to be stunning, man.
Yeah.
I wonder if Facebook's having a little bit of problem. Lewin Hayden out there from Ozark, Missouri, wants to leave a comment. He wants to say good morning to you, Bub. And he's saying he can't leave a comment. But Lewin knows that we are watching, even from the personal pages as well. He's a big fan. We love Lewin. And Lewin would like to say good morning to you, Bub.
What's up, Lewin?
How you doing out there, man? Maybe Lewin's building twin turbo applications during the snowfalls over there.
Oof.
No such thing as cold, huh, Bob?
Man.
Couldn't do it, could we?
Yeah.
Where's Biz Markie? Is he still out there?
He's still here.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we do have the BEM Rough Country Mark Brown Jeep just about to completion. I did run over his top in his yard while I was trying to sneak around last week, Bub. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard about that.
It's got part of the corner of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what Mark's doing now is instead of putting the top on the Jeep, because he's a quality kind of guy, he doesn't want to put the top on the Jeep because it's been damaged. He just doesn't know how I did it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's done.
Yeah.
Right? So now that beautiful interior that you've sewn up and put in that vehicle, that Jeep's stunning, man.
Yeah, man. It that for a 2007, Jesus man, that Christ. Thing came together super, super strong. 2008, I'm sorry. Came together really strong, man. It's a lot of body mods, a lot of upgrades to it, a lot of modernizing. The Jeep JK model line was from 07 to 18,
yep.
And, still going to continue from there, I'm sure. But it was just one of those times where, things get old and they get worn out, and it's time for a facelift. And that's what we did. We took it over the top, and we went all the way around, interior, exterior, suspension, mechanical, drivetrain, wheels and tires, audio. I mean, everything you can imagine. Was a huge, huge, huge upgrade and more to come. It's going to be pretty insane once it's done.
Once we fix that top.
Yeah, we're turning that thing into, very clean, still same thing. It's something where you want to have that aggressiveness to it, but also very, very clean because of, the client who owns it, plus where it sits.
Sits at the Marlins Stadium. He works for the Marlins.
Yeah, you want to make sure that it looks really, really good. And, it represents itself, the owner. And the quality's got to be key, man. So we're taking all of the factory, the black plastic crap that was on there, the fenders, the texture style stuff, all that's coming off, and it's all getting base coat, clear coated with a smooth finish, which is definitely
so cool.
A lot of work to do. But that's actually next step on the list is to do the entire top assembly, the Freedom top, so your front two T's, and also the full hard top over the passenger compartment and cargo area as well. So it's going to take some work because that does have a lot of heavy grain in it now, and that's to have, of course, a mirror quality shine. Going to take that, it's going to take that time in the end, but it's going to look incredible.
One of the things you did is build custom bumpers for that.
Mm-hmm.
And would you entertain that? And then did a very, very solid Kevlar finish. I can't believe the quality of that finish on that's those are bumpers that just get banged around, Bub.
Yeah.
And that thing looks like a sealant piece, man.
Yeah.
Would you do the top in that same match?
No. I'm going to do the top's going to be smoothed out. The top actually is almost like that now. It's like a very thick textured satin black. Just a base model top that they put on Jeeps. And, we've also even started thinking about doing the insides. Of course, they're bright white right now. So we may take those and do them in like a dark charcoal. So it matches
to
that
match
interior.
The interior. Yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe do a full headliner installation kit on top of that as well. So it gives you a little bit of that sound deadening. almost adding, you know, that just that nice modern style touch of cleanliness to it, but you know, still going to keep it very aggressive all at the same time. Fully functional, has to be.
What about, well, that's one of the ways you build aggressive appearance, smooth ride quality.
Yeah.
What about, Bub, you did a Bentley diamond-esque style interior in that vehicle that you showed up.
Yeah, we diamond stitched that thing. It's you know, there were so many different colors in that Jeep from factory. And if you guys haven't seen it, you're not familiar with what we're talking about, please go to the Instagram page, instagram.com/Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. And you'll see all of these pictures out there that I'm referring to. It's a dark green Jeep. And, you know, it turned out insane, man. If you go back and look at that progression of that thing over the past year or so we've been doing it, just incredible, man. I mean, everything from the facelift change to everything from Rough Country that they had sent in for it.
They've really been a big support on that.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. And, you know, all the way down to just the basics, just the interior grab handles, just to make getting in and out of the thing that much easier. I can't tell you how many sets of those things we've sold off of the site, those interior grab handles.
Yeah.
They're affordable. They're super high quality, and they are perfect use. They're not just those cheap strap handles that go around
metal.
A roll bar. They are literally heavy-duty steel that are powder coated and rubber grips, so that getting in and out is easy. The handles are in a great placement, so you're not hitting your head on them every time you get in and out. So a good setup.
Well, the other thing too is it's not the way they padded those handles so that you didn't, and the height of them as you got in and out, so they didn't hit you in the head.
Yeah.
They weren't dangerous. It was a really well thought out design by Rough Country, man.
Yeah, big time.
And it looks good. But by the way, this morning, in the midst of everything else I was doing to try to get prepped for the show, I started putting all of the BEM Rough Country Mark Brown photos over the last couple months in one folder. I'll finish that tomorrow morning. I am going to write the Facebook story of the custom-made bumpers. They are very, very cool. They're so cool, in fact, that you had somebody state that you should probably retail those or market those for sale, Bob. So what's Biz Markie saying?
No, it's Dietz. He's just commenting on something.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty funny right
is
now.
It? Mark Brown and Derek Dietrich. Man, the whole organization is going to be in here.
Yeah, total wreck.
Right?
Yeah.
I think Biz Markie's a total wreck.
No, I don't know. He's been pretty good for a while.
Yeah, but because he's in
trouble
again.
Which means that train's going to derail real hard.
Yeah, oh, and when it comes off the tracks, it is ugly.
Total pile up.
And I want to be right there when it does.
Yeah, all 40 cars behind it are piling up.
Because my 40 cars are hooked right to the back of those.
Probably.
And he and I have torn up some stuff before.
Maybe a little bit.
Oh, my God. I'm still driving the remnants of it.
Yeah.
How about that?
No more of that, dude.
No?
That cost me way too much money in way too short a period of time.
It's still not fixed.
I know. Tell me about it.
It's funny. The whack was hard enough. I've worn through a set of tires already.
Yep.
All I did was look up, and the back of the BEM Rough Country Mark Brown Jeep was sitting in the air, and the back tires were spinning. So he had this evil grin on me when he looked over his shoulder, sort of like the Grinch from Jim Carrey.
Yep.
And he slammed that thing in four low, and the next thing you know, it was all over the top of the car.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it, man.
I know.
Disaster.
Yep.
And then threw a beer bottle at me.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Totally possible.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe not, though.
I know it's 100% possible.
I feel like it was probably 90% you and 10% him.
No, absolutely not.
I don't know.
I mean, who else drives down guardrails with you?
Listen, that one's irrelevant.
Is it?
Yeah, we're going to move on from that one.
Are we?
Yeah.
The list goes on and on, doesn't it, Bob?
Literally made a profit on the car after it went all the way down a 150-yard guardrail.
And then signed the inside of the cap on the Denali, and we got more money for his autograph after he banged the Denali up.
I don't know what to tell you.
And he autographed it.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you anymore.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
How about the brand new dually?
That's why I've stayed away.
Took it to the
Marlin. Man, look at all those wrecks, dude. Stop it.
Took it to the Marlin Stadium, had the boat with him, pulling in. They had just erected, a new concrete entryway or something like that?
No, changed the gate design.
Did
they? The way they opened, yeah.
Biz
it was a slider, not an opener.
Biz Markie changed the gate design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the way down the side of the truck. Brand new. Sweet. Park in the paint shop. That's what we do best.
Park it in the paint shop.
Stick it in the paint shop. I'll get it.
Bubba will eventually get to it.
I'll get to it, man. I only have 474 paint jobs I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
I don't even know what color I'm painting anymore.
Hey, Bub, sounds like something just hit the studio door, too.
Yep. That's the very, very, very back car on the train already starting to get wobbly.
Yep, it is. It's starting to fishtail a little
Something's
bit.
Something's starting to happen back there.
Well, just remember, his caboose is the front of my my engine. So as soon as he derails, I'm going off with him.
Probably.
It's been a long time, man.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yep.
It's time to get rowdy.
Oh, yeah. The stirring is going right now.
I know it is. So, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. These are the kinds of things that we experience here at Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. We're blessed with some really good people in our lives.
Yeah, right? Really good.
So Bub, we're going to get into those carbon fiber accents. I am going to be doing a complete Facebook posting of the BEM Rough Country Mark Brown Jeep with those custom fabricated bumpers. I think they're really cool. People are asking you to put those out on the market for retail. It just takes too long to build them, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work. And that's the stuff that really no one sees, because when you do by the time the final product is done, that's one of the things that you lose is what it took to get to that and result. And I think that goes in a lot of industries, you know, whether it's like, you know, home construction, contractors, you know, you don't know what that before, during, and after is. Everybody always sees the after, and you don't really realize how much really went into it in order to get to that end result. And, that's what I love is, you know, in my mind, I know what it took. You start with something that's just a 3/16, you know, steel plated bumper, and they're fairly generic for all these Jeep JKs. There's just so many different options out there in the industry right now for the Jeep model lines, and you can literally get anything you can imagine. But it may not always be perfect. It might be it's 90% of what I want, but I don't, you know, it's got all these extra light holes, or it's got all these extra little winch things and these mounts and these hooks, and you know, not everybody out there wants all that nonsense,
right?
But they sell it to the mass, so it's got to have those options on it, because one guy might like one way, one guy might like another. So you've got to kind of stand right there in the middle and sell to everybody, right? You have to appeal to everyone. Nothing wrong with that. But when you want to build and design as clean as we do here at BEM, all of us, it's something where you don't take no for an answer, and you take that part and you modify and alter it even further so that you can design it for that application, not just out of the box and bolt it right on. And that takes a lot of thought process. It takes a lot of time. But once it's done, it's like, man, you look at it and you're like, holy crap, dude, that thing looks like it's out of the box.
Heavy, it does.
Heavy duty, custom built and plated for that application. Done. Hands
it's
down.
Beautifully
perfect.
Done. Wait for that post to go up this weekend. I'll be working through the weekend to get that done. It takes a lot to write these stories, but I'm going to go back to them. But that's it. We're at the top of the hour here. We want to thank everybody around the world for joining us today. And despite the technical difficulties, we'll have them worked out next week. We want to thank John Urist over at Hellion. We can't thank him enough for being part of our show today. We're going to have him on much more, Bub. He had some family obligations he had to do. We had to get to him.
That's right.
This episode is brought to you by Bubba's Exotic Motorsports. That's bubbasexoticmotorsports.com. Visit us for over 20,000 online parts. Big audio announcement coming up. Stay tuned. Miss Outlaw Boutique, the Moose is Loose in Hollywood, California, buying the latest in trends to put online for everybody to buy their girls and the girls to get themselves. Pretty cool stuff going on over there. HellionTurbo.com. That's HellionTurbo.com, Bub. We can't thank Podcast One, Blog Talk Radio enough for being the host of our show. We are the number one rated internationally syndicated motorsports show. Until Monday, ladies and gentlemen, at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Bub.
Just keep on doing it, Bubba style.
Just keep on doing it, Bubba style.